Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Your trade-in has never been worth more. Okay? And not only that, their service department, inspections, routine, whatever it may be, they're great. It's one-stop shopping. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. A scenario that Matt does not want to see. A rescheduled game where the road team kicks a field goal to win.
Counts, and the Raiders have won it. Las Vegas is still alive. 16-14 as Carlson hits the game winner.
Joe Davis, who, by the way, is just a fabulous guy and a great announcer. I've enjoyed so much talking to Joe over the last couple of years. Now he's doing some BTN, some Fox Sports 1 games. So he's done some Penn State basketball games. So I've had a chance to, during shoot-around talk with him. You listen to him on basketball, he's terrific. You listen to him on the NFL, he is terrific. And you listen to him do a Dodger game, he is terrific. So that was the call last night. Again, a scenario you do not want to be involved in.
That is correct. And it is official. Garrett Gilbert will start tonight for Washington.
Yeah, because they were hoping that Heineke or Allen would test negative by 3 o'clock today.
Nope.
It did not. So the guy that was the MVP of the Alliance will be out there tonight. And just saw here on the analysis of the game, they actually gave him the check mark for quarterback advantage. Wow. All right.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up.
Against your guy on Tuesday football. Huh?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Again, a game that Matt thinks that they should forfeit this game. Forfeit. There you go. Why? Because Matt doesn't like the idea of actually earning stuff. All right, let's bring in Neil Kulong. Happy holidays, my good friend. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be here as always. Thank you for having me.
Can you explain to me why Harvin is the number one punter in the Pro Bowl voting?
He's a fun guy. He is about as non-punter like a physical player, I think, that you'll ever see. And he plays for a marquee team. There's something that goes to say if you are a Steelers fan filling out a full Pro Bowl ballot, you're never going to skip the punter. You know, in this year's team, you're probably not skipping the kicker either. I don't know. Where's Boswell on that? Boswell's got to be. He's a legitimate high-end guy.
I agree
with
that.
He's got to be in the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Harvin, though, absolutely is not. He's not even one of the 10 best punters in the AFC. I mean, it's pretty clear at this point. Not a good year. Seventh-round picks. That it might play special teams for you. You don't really care about that. But if he's your starting punter, it's the worst decision in the world. Harvin's a young player. There's a lot more that he needs to learn and do, I think. But yeah. He's popular because he's a big guy and he just doesn't look like other punters.
No, he does not.
There's something to that that I think makes it kind of fun. He's got good personality. You see him. He's big into cars, apparently. That's definitely a selling point with a football-based audience. So, and he plays for a marquee team, and most fans that vote for that probably don't know more than one punter in the league. So, I don't know. Where did Jordan Berry ever finish? Well, I guess Steelers fans hated Jordan Berry. So I mean, they didn't vote for him. They skipped the punter. More votes coming in for the punter position now than ever has before, because Steelers fans love the guy they've got now, who happens to be one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now let's get to the game on Saturday. We could talk all the analytics you want all over the place. Analytics this, analytics that. You win giveaway takeaway. And not only that, you get your takeaways on their side of the field. Your odds of winning increase exponentially. And I got to give the Steelers defense credit. They set up the offense beautifully.
That really is everything in a nutshell for a game that at some point, and maybe you'll help me market this, at some point I'll put together some type of package going over the weirdest Steelers games that we've seen. And this one might be on there. It's not quite Houston at Pittsburgh, in which the Texans got 47 yards of offense and won by three scores.
Right.
It's not the stuck-in-the-muck game, the 3-0 affair against Miami and torrential downpour with a layer of sod that hadn't connected to the ground yet. This, though, you will not find many games in which the winning team is so badly dominated in almost every phase of the game.
I know.
But every example that's like this, you're going to find exactly what you just found, a significant turnover advantage. And in my opinion, a big factor of this is a kicker that didn't miss. I mean, you know, trot him out there for 57 at the end of the half. I mean, that's nothing.
Right. That
you know, I'm not worried about that.
That's
for all intents and purposes, he's 4-for-4 and 3-for-3 in the second half. That's your game. He misses one of those. Tennessee ties, and there's nothing to make me think. At some point, Deontay Foreman's not breaking a tackle and going the distance, because they couldn't stop anything. They were incapable of stopping water from running downhill when the Titans had the ball. And the only problem was the Titans had a trap floor or something around a certain part of the middle of the field, the flat, in which they couldn't hold on to the ball. They fumbled. Give them credit for this. One, I mean, the Tannehill fumble on the center exchange, that happens. It's a fluky thing. You want to eliminate that. Obviously, though, not a forced takeaway. The other three were forced takeaways, plays on the ball that the Steelers had to make. And they were on the field most of the game. Have you ever seen the winning team have 20 minutes of possession before?
No.
That doesn't happen often.
No.
The Steelers ran 41 plays. 41 plays. Titans were like 85 or something like that. Just a significant control advantage of the game. It all simply came down to the fact that the Steelers got the ball back four times and got four field goals out of them. So to the field position part, ironically, if the Titans hadn't dominated, they might have turned the ball over a little bit deeper in territory. The Steelers had to go a little bit further, but they got them early in downs as well. So early in some of those series. I forget the stat in front of me that I was looking at when we did our podcast earlier this week, but the Steelers had, I think, like one drive over 3 minutes. And that was their touchdown drive, which was aided by two penalties. So they didn't move the ball for anything. You take out Najee Harris's 1 7-yard run, which really felt like the only positive run he had all game.
Right.
11 carries for 11 yards. It doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, that's bad. You're not doing anything with that. Titans are a really good football team, and we saw a lot of reasons why they were a really good football team, but they're kicking themselves today. There's, many reasons they should not have lost that game. They were clearly the better team on the field that day. The Steelers just made, call them 8 biggest plays, 4 field goals and 4 takeaways.
Yeah, remarkable that they won the game, but they did. They did enough to capitalize. They only had the one touchdown in maybe one of the more awkward quarterback sneaks I've ever seen. But they had the one touchdown.
One?
Yeah, I know, really. The second, they both were awkward. Like,
second one, it almost seemed like they just let him in because they were worried about him. It's like, look, you want it that bad, just have it. I'm not gonna hit you like that. I don't know what you're doing, but it's not what we're used to.
Remarkably, they're 7-6-1. They're not, they're still on the outside looking in for the playoffs. But they got Kansas City coming up. So where are you? I said last week to you, this is the strangest Steeler team you've seen, and we both feel that way. Where is this team good? Where there's no doubt they are solid at these spots and they're good.
They don't have any. They really don't. They're not a good football team. And Sunday is proof positive of that. They got destroyed in every aspect of that game except for four plays. And they somehow won the game. You know, and give them the stop at the end. That was a big-time play.
Yes, it was.
Tough play. Needed that to happen. Ryan Tannehill is a good passer. They have a good offensive team. They weren't good Sunday in some ways, but by and large, they were playing really well. The Steelers got those big plays. You're seeing T.J. Watt play at a defensive player of the year level. He made a couple plays. I thought Cam Hayward resurrected himself pretty well after kind of a quiet past two games. They're able to play within plays on defense, but beyond that, they're not good. And the Titans played exactly that. They were so safe, so careful with the ball. They were not trying to put themselves into the exact position that they ended up in. I guarantee you Mike Vrabel was breaking stuff in the locker room because of that. They absolutely had an advantage. This is always a topic of conversation. Just because Team A is great at rushing the ball and Team B is not statistically, it doesn't mean that Team A is going to come in to Team B and run all over them.
Right.
Just because they have great rushing stats does not mean they are a great philosophical rushing team. They want to do this. This is their desire to do this. In this case, it really was the perfect storm for the Steelers because you're playing a team that wants to run the ball. They enjoy the fact that your run defense is historically bad right now. And they took advantage of every opportunity that they got in that regard. So Tennessee had the perfect opponent for them in so many ways. For them to lose that game on anywhere, you know, break this down another time, but anywhere from 5 to 8 plays of the 120 some that were run, those are the only ones, in my opinion, that Tennessee really lost. They end up, that cost them 19 points. It's just unbelievable. But the Steelers, the only way they were going to win that game, it was the last card in the deck. The only way they were going to win that game is if they were +4 in takeaways and their kicker didn't miss anything. And they'll get a touchdown because that's the NFL. You're going to get the long pass interference. You're going to get the roughing the passer. You're going to get into a short yardage situation. You'll score a touchdown in the NFL unless Urban Meyer's coaching you. But
right.
By and large,
exactly.
you should be able to get at least, in my opinion, 10 points.
Right.
You know, a team could easily score 10 or more points every game. We shouldn't be surprised by that at all. The Steelers wouldn't have had that without the takeaways. And Tennessee played, in my opinion, their plan was absolutely perfect. It was exactly what they should have done. They went deep, I think, like twice. They missed those too, by the way. They were open. Tannehill didn't see one of them. He missed on another one. That happens. You can't blame that necessarily, but they played very conservatively. They didn't try to knock them out early. They just wanted to control the ball and grind them away. Make T.J. Watt rushing the passer not a factor in the game. I haven't seen the number of it, but their rush success on first down was enormous. I swear they were averaging like 9 yards a carry on first down alone. Pittsburgh didn't do anything to prevent any of that. So for Tennessee to have lost that game on a couple plays, I mean, it's a totally bizarre game. And in this case, for the Steelers, it shows the thing they do well is they can come up with big plays on defense. Beyond that, they really are not a very good football team.
Yeah, Ben has a passer rating in the fourth quarter that is much higher than the rest of the game. Why?
I think a lot of that, in this game notwithstanding, but a lot of that is caused by the fact that his passer rating in the first three quarters of many games was pretty bad.
That's
and
true.
You're playing in a comeback environment. We've discussed this. When you've got a defense that is letting you take the middle of the field so you can't get out of bounds and you can waste clock because they've got scores to give, they don't care about the gambling line, their main thing is to not let you – you're going to have to work to get down inside the red zone. Mm-hmm. Then things will tighten up a little bit. They're going to concede most of the field as long as you trade 2.5-3 minutes in order to get there.
Right.
Ben has taken advantage of that. Ben's mistakes don't come in those situations naturally. And then in many of those games, he's finished it off. Chargers, the Vikings, he's been able to get the most out of himself later in the game, and that's a testament to him. I don't think a lot of those games, the Vikings in particular, I don't think that was Ben's fault. I thought Ben did fine.
Uh-huh.
A lot of problems offensively in that game.
Right.
But when everyone else got to his level, they were playing pretty well. And you stack enough of those games together, your numbers jump, especially when you are taking advantage of it. In other words, what used to be a fight for 6 yards is now an easy 15-yard completion. He gets enough of those. He gets a touchdown pass here and there. If he never sees the ball again, his rating is great. But that doesn't really indicate, in my opinion, within proper context, what that's really saying, because they are so far behind, especially lately in a lot of these games.
And they are. I mean, that's the odd part about it. They're behind a lot. When you've looked at Kansas City, why are they more consistent compared to the early part of the season?
To me, watching them on film, clearly it's defense. If you watch them defensively in the first couple weeks, it's a disaster. They're really not fundamentally very strong, and their offense was not able to carry all of it. They've got several new players on their offensive line, so I think there were things they had to work through offensively and defensively. The defense was worse off, though. It's not because of Melvin Ingram,
right,
but to the point where I'm convinced Ingram didn't want to, quote-unquote, play more. That's why he requested a trade. This is just my opinion. I think he talked to Kansas City. Kansas City definitely saw a need. Ingram told Pittsburgh he wants to get traded. Kansas City's the only team that's going to give Pittsburgh what they want. So
right.
Trade works out. It's call it an in-season, under-the-table free agent acquisition. They got him, and he has helped bolster depth at a couple spots.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a very similar role and very similar snap counts to what he did in Pittsburgh. We shouldn't be surprised. He is virtually the same player, and he's a good player. I was really excited when the Steelers signed him. He's shown why. He's a quality player, and you can use him in a lot of different ways. Kansas City has now that kind of extra dimension that I think Ingram would have provided had he stayed in Pittsburgh. But with that, Kansas City was able to shore up things within their front seven. That translates into their secondary that's playing a lot better than it was. And they've put it together now to the point, they're this week's AFC team that's probably going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Who knows what's going to be after that? It's been like that all season. But they're still a great football team. They have been for several years now, and that will continue. It'll continue to be that way, I'd imagine, certainly on Sunday. I don't like the Steelers' chances much in that game. Kansas City is really good. I think Pittsburgh will bite down and give them the business, but it's not a real favorable matchup. Kansas City is superior to them in pretty much every aspect of the game.
When you look at Patrick Mahomes, it looks like they're trying to do the simple things right now. How much do you think that's benefited him? Because I felt like he was just trying to force everything early in the season, and it cost him left and right.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and usually what you could say if you're forcing it down the field is you're running too much deep stuff.
Yeah.
And if a team is being more prepared for that, if they're playing more cover three, if they're dropping back more, you have to take the underneath stuff. And perhaps Mahomes wasn't doing that, he's trying to do the electric things that he always does, and
right.
It didn't work out in his favor. Deep passes are historically at best 50-50. That's where that term comes from as far as football goes. 50-50 balls, this guy is, he's great in the air. Mahomes was a much better than 50-50 quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to feel like at some point that's going to regress. And I think it's not that anyone's figuring him out or catching up to anybody. That's football week to week, though. The more film you put down, the more they are going to discover about you and your tendencies. People, I don't want to say caught up to it, but they figured out you really have to take away Hill more than anything else. And Tyreek, the stuff that they do, it's absolutely unbelievable. Tyreek Hill is running, in many cases, 60-yard routes.
Yes, he is.
And Mahomes is able to get out of the pocket and get to a spot where he's comfortable with the insane amount of arm talent that he has. He's comfortable hitting him wherever he is. And if you watch Hill, he is running the deepest slant you've ever seen, and then he's running the deepest corner you've ever seen. He's got a gigantic greater than sign in his route that eats up almost 70 yards of pure space, and it's taken him 5.5 seconds to do it. Mahomes is able to move out of the pocket and make that throw that deep down the field. That's where their big plays come from. But right. when you are kind of cutting that off and not allowing it, he doesn't have that option. I think, you know, maybe he went for it a little bit more than he should have earlier this year. They're using Kelce a lot more, which they should. And Kelce is, in my opinion, the best tight end of the game.
Right.
He's a beast in every phase at every level in your passing game. They're using him in that more than they have. And Mahomes, I think, has, you know, he's calmed his game down to the point where he's looking to make completions. He is taking what the defense is giving him. Whereas before, I think he did try to force it probably more than even an elite talent like himself should have.
One final question that deals with the NFL reducing its testing. In other words, if you are vaccinated and you feel fine, right, you are not going to get tested. That's a simple.
You don't want to know.
Right? No, you know, if you're asymptomatic, I mean, you feel. I mean, look. I mean, let's face it, Neil. You know when you feel sick. So, what was your thought on what the NFL did there? Because with Omicron going on right now, they're the group that scaled it back.
Yeah, history will judge this as something that is purely being done to placate the exact issue that they've never been able to contain anyway. What's happening right now is exactly what you can expect to happen, considering the transmission rate of the virus as we know it. It's spreading. You know, it's not rocket surgery. We know that this happens. So you have groups of people who are in tight proximity. If they took away the mask mandate, which they did, basically the NFL banked heavily on bullying the players into getting the vaccine, and
right.
they felt the vaccine was going to prevent it, and that's not just—it's not what a vaccine does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a scientist, but I just know that that's not what a vaccine does. They can all have it; they're still going to get it if they are exposed to it. So, in a way, there isn't much you can do to hide, but wearing a mask and staying away from people is probably the best way to lower the risk of a spread.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still doing that, whether you're vaccinated or not, makes no difference. So the fact that now they are saying this comes down to being symptomatic or not, what are we doing?
Right.
You may as well just throw the whole thing out. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
What you're saying is you're taking the guy who has, you know, a bad cough out of the room. And frankly, might have wanted to do that all along anyway.
Right.
I mean,
from a
strategic standpoint, you don't want to get your whole locker room sick with the flu heading into the playoffs.
Right.
So this isn't any different. So the whole thing, in my mind, is we're going to have to find a more efficient way to get guys on the field, because somehow we did not really take seriously the possibility that 25-plus players on a team might test positive.
Right.
And to me, it's laughable simply because there is absolutely nothing that should have encouraged them to think the way that they did at the beginning of all this.
Right.
It truly is all or nothing. They're doing a random sample, too, aren't they?
Yes.
That's not going to accomplish anything.
No.
The one guy who has it that doesn't get sick, doesn't show symptoms, can pass it on.
Yep.
Just because these three guys that you tested didn't doesn't mean it's not in your locker room.
Right.
There's nothing statistically valid about what they're doing. So to me, it's like you're either even less intelligent than I thought you were, or what you were really trying to do is keep the teeth of something in place while cutting down kind of the rest of it to make sure that you can play playoff games, because that's the real concern here. They're not able to do a whole lot of what they did this weekend, and they said at the beginning they absolutely do not want to do this again. But the reality was, sooner rather than later, it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And they felt again, their strategy was to bully the players into getting the vaccine. And in doing that, that enabled them, in their eyes, to lower the restrictions that the players would have to take. That was kind of the quid pro quo deal between the league and the union.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Little Mark, little Luke, being taught by Dad that the goal should be to forfeit. It's just the kind of life lessons that occur in that household. Meanwhile, Lisa's in there saying, no, you play.
No, now that they're playing, they're ready to go for tonight. It's like any other Eagles game day.
Oh, in other words, you're extremely nervous and feel they could blow it.
I'm just nervous that they're going to blow it, but I don't think they will. I think it's going to be a closer – I think it's still going to be a close game because that's just how it is. But I still think the Eagles do win tonight.
There are a lot of people out there saying, go, woofed, go. All right.
Yeah, wonderful.
They love woofed. And fans now love that we call them woofed on the air. Might as well go for it. We'll call them woofed. That's what you want to go with, WFT, woofed. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with that all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. Great sales staff. You're not going to get more for your trade-in than now. Your trade-in is worth so much. And that service department, inspections, routine, whatever it may be, they're great. One-stop shopping. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Again, Matt does not want to play the game tonight. He wants to teach his children that forfeits are good.
No, I'll be teaching them, if you're going to be a CEO of a company or whatever, stick to what your protocols are. And don't change them.
You're talking about billions in contracts here. Billions. It is a business. You have to make adjustments on the fly. I'm not going to criticize them for adjusting. Just like the NHL didn't tell the Bruins to forfeit. They'll reschedule the game in February. They didn't tell the Devils to forfeit. They're going to reschedule the game in February.
Yeah, but they never did in the first place. That's my problem. The NFL did. And sure, if you still want to keep all so concerned about all these contracts, which is, you know, it's there, obviously they have to be, because you're right, it's billions of dollars in business, then don't put there in the first place. Simple.
You wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't the Eagles. You wouldn't care. You know,
I would be.
Oh, no, they got a chance at the playoffs, and the forfeit was the way to get there. That way you could have the Jets, the Lions, and a forfeit. It's kind of like the easiest way to do it.
Either way, it still didn't work. Washington's still going to have Garrett Gilbert at quarterback tonight. So the Eagles, yeah, they better take care of business. Then they'll probably get to face either Mike Glennon and or Jake Fromm with the Giants next week. So yeah, if the Eagles can't take care of business, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
They don't deserve to be in it anyway. You got the Jets and the Lions. I'm sorry. It's like the NFL's already done enough for them. Now they're going to have to play. They already handed you two wins. How much more is the league supposed to do for you? You can't answer that, can you?
No, actually, the one thing I would say would be...
How much more is this league supposed to do for you?
Only because they did this last year, in the midst of all this, is help the teams out that were affected by postponements this week and push their games back a day next week. So the Eagles-Giants game next week, if I'm Goodell, I push it back to Monday because the Eagles are getting screwed this week. And they basically have to treat it like a Thursday game.
Yeah, but you just told me Garrett Gilbert's a quarterback and Fromm may start a quarterback against the Giants. I don't need anything pushed back. I mean, now you're all cocky and confident.
I mean, no matter what the circumstances are, yeah, they should win these next two games. But
they lose these two games, you're going to be a basket case.
Well, if they lose this game, I will be. If they lose next week, I'll probably just be numb at this point.
Numb.
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on how it all goes down.
Well, you know what I mean. Obviously, they changed up from where they were. There's a lot of reasons for it. You know, one's the TV contracts. Number two is the tickets. I mean, don't think the gambling part doesn't enter into it either. There's just a lot of elements. Look, did I anticipate any Penn State basketball game being cast aside this season? No, I didn't. I didn't anticipate that. Things have been going along. Yeah, some guys got the flu at UMass and it affected them there, but it was influenza A. So almost every Penn State basketball player is vaccinated. Almost every Penn State football player is vaccinated. So I haven't thought about it. I hadn't thought about it. I just thought, you know, okay, they're going along. Last year, every single time I woke up the day of the game, I'd be saying, okay, are we playing today or not? I mean, that's the way it was all last season. Well, I haven't thought once about that this season. Not one time in football or basketball until suddenly out of nowhere I was told, hey, guys, now I was told a couple days before they released it, but we've got a problem here. Really? That's the first time I even thought about it. I'm in this thing every single day. So what do you think the NFL sat down and thought about? The NFL thought things were going along and they're getting everything done. There's been no movement of any game until this week. You got to make an adjustment here or there. Just like Duke, for example, was not supposed to play Elon. Towson State had to bow out. They got somebody else, then they had to bow out, and then they ended up getting Elon. So they filled the game. But they weren't supposed to play Elon. So instead of taking a forfeit, they did the honorable thing. They played a game. Which is a good lesson for little Luke and little Mark. I could see Luke right now coercing little Mark into a forfeit. Daddy says, uh-oh, bad start.
No, today Luke was making a gingerbread house with Grandma.
Was he really?
He was. An Oreo gingerbread house, I might add.
You didn't tell the suit, did you?
No.
Because, I mean, I'm talking, it looked like Stanley the Steam Shovel with these desserts. Honestly, go. Next one.
Oh, my almighty!
Mertzi saw the writing on the wall. Mertzi got out after the first one. I said, Michelle, I'll wait till 8. Okay. 6 minutes later. By the way, Adam Silver says there were, he was asked about any contingency plans for Christmas Day games, and Silver said he has no plans to shut down the NBA.
Yeah, the only thing is they have contingency plans to flip-flop game
right.
times around if
yeah,
they have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, they'll move some game times around if they have to. But yeah. I mean, look, we're in a situation right now where I'm watching the Browns game last night. And guess what I'm looking at off the field? Every seat filled. I'm watching the Bears and the Vikings game last night. Soldier Field. What am I seeing? Every seat filled. Now, we can question the Bears fans for being there to watch that product offensively. Not defensively. They played hard last night. I'm like, I mean, I bought my tickets. I'm going. Tonight, Philadelphia will have a full house at Lincoln Financial Field. Right? Seattle and the Rams will have a full house. 49ers are going to play the Titans on Thursday. Same story. They'll be pretty much a full house. I mean, that part hasn't been shut down. In Canada, yes. Not here. Those are allegedly the super spreader events, right? So they haven't been shutting, sports has not been shutting down fans going to games. And the Philadelphia fans, I mean, in mass, will boo Santa lustily tonight. It's what they do. Your people.
No, that won't be the case tonight. We'll be cheering for Harold Carmichael because he's getting his Pro Football Hall of Fame ring tonight.
Why? Because Santa won't be there tonight? He won't go back.
Santa has long forgiven the Philadelphia fan base.
Au contraire, mon frère. Okay? Mrs. Claus, long memory. You don't mess with Mrs. Claus. You wonder why the lack of championships in that city. Ask Claus, looking around saying, no. They booed me. They get nothing. Have you asked yourself about the lack of titles? I mean, they don't refer to Philadelphia as title town.
I am aware.
And you wonder where that may have started. Now you can put two and two together. You can teach little Luke and little Mark a valuable lesson on how to treat Santa. By the way, do you do the elf in the shelf deal?
They're not at that point yet, but if they do...
too young?
They're still too young, but when they get to that point, no. I'm not about that. That's not my
style.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah, my grandkids kind of get a kick out of it. You know? And they were taught that it was good to play and earn it and not forfeit. I mean, it's what we do in the Jones household. We play. We beg to play the games. We don't beg to forfeit. It's our only way in. We've got to forfeit this thing.
You, sir, are my hero!
Sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
No good! No good! No good!
I'll be mad after Garrett Gilbert throws his third touchdown pass of the night. the only guy in America that rejoiced over two guys unable to play because of COVID. Is this how we go about business? Like, oh, goody, Heineke's got COVID. Well, I mean, is that how we're doing things now?
No, that's a violation.
I mean, are these the lessons being taught to the youth of America?
I can assure you I would not do that.
The audience is now having doubts. Now, which individual planted those doubts, we can discuss. I have concerns. I mean, we're going to teach the youth of America 'Tis better. Oh, this is awesome. They're going to forfeit. Oh, what do you mean Montez Sweat got better? Oh, what do you mean Antonio Gibson got better? Oh, aren't you supposed to be rooting for people to get better? Don't you want wins over teams at full strength? I'll take that as
yeah,
a no.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
The league handed you the Lions and the Jets. You got to go out and earn some capital.
That's fine.
It's like when you go out and buy silver. At some point, they'll give you some free stuff, but you got to buy a little bit yourself.
That's fine. Hopefully, Eagles can get it done tonight and take care of business.
You're going to be a basket case during the entire Sealands Go broadcast tonight.
No, I will be. Once I have the mic on, I'll be calm, cool, and collected.
Constantly checking your phone. Constantly checking.
Oh, that's true. Yes, I'll admit that.
Every time out. Oh, see. Oh, they can't be down 10-7. And Sealands Grove is down 10-7. It's 26-12. What?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
No, I will freely admit I'll probably be checking during breaks and stuff. But once we're back on, my full focus is on Sealands Grove and Sheboken.
I never take my phone out during a broadcast. The only time I'll check anything is when I have to do, like in basketball, I have to do the scoreboard segment at halftime. So I have to go to the ESPN or CBSSports.com site to get that to give you like five or six scores or whatever. My phone stays in my bag the whole time. Because my focus is on the game I'm doing. I mean, let's start here. What could you possibly do about it?
Valid point.
Now, the next part is, when you go home and say you don't know the score, will you ask Luke what the score was?
Well, I tried to ask him, are you going to keep Daddy updated tonight? And he gave me this blank look.
The influence that Lisa's had in those children is remarkable. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And your trade-in has never been worth more. And the service department, awesome.